Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, more dramas at Fremantle. Reece Shaw appointed. Was it a bit early? Jared McVeigh announces his retirement. And Sean Burgoyne, a salute to you.
That was out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh! Stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Thursday, time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Glenn Quartermain.
Duff, how are you?
The sports editor of the Sunday Times, and Mark Duffield, the senior footy writer of the West Australian. Quarters, we're on the home run, but we're also surrounded by an enormous amount of noise about the Fremantle Football Club.
Yeah, it's been a big couple of days. Well, it's been a big month, really. I mean, there's noise everywhere. There's little spot fires everywhere. I guess the key to it is picking what are the actual fires that have any force to them, and what's just the noise?
Yeah, well, I think exactly. There's a lot of smoke. Where are the fires underneath the smoke? And I think that's what Fremantle has to get to the bottom of this. You know, between now and the end of the season, and they shouldn't rush into any decisions about anything. They should get to the bottom of all this. Okay, what are our problems? What are our solutions? And then move forward. I would say this: if Shane Kirsten becomes the straw that breaks Ross Lyon's back, it would be like the FBI getting Al Capone for tax evasion. Because seriously, Shane Kirsten, marginal player, running out of contract anyway,
So what we're talking about to our listeners, our valued listeners, player-manager, very powerful player-manager, Colin Young, coming out last night and suggesting that there are serious concerns on the rehab procedures at Fremantle. Been a number of foot injuries there, and he's suggesting that there were a number of injuries, full stop, and he's suggesting that Shane Kirsten, his foot injury that will force his retirement or his departure from the club, was done with negligence. That was his point.
Well, I think that Colin Young feels that they need a review into their rehab.
And Fremantle, we will point out, has come out very strongly today and defended their rehab system, suggesting that why would we mishandle any of our players who are so valuable to us winning each weekend?
Yeah, that's right. So Peter Bell, I wouldn't say they hit back. They just sort of clarified their view in all of this, and basically what they said was, you know, it is in their interest to take absolute care of all their players. Bell said, among other things, he said that there'd been a deed of separation between Shane Kirsten and the footy club when it became clear he would not play during 2019, and that agreement was being nutted out as Colin made his comments. While we respect the views of player managers like Colin and work with him each day, it is important to reinforce that everyone at the Fremantle Football Club is committed to looking after our players and their health and welfare on and off the field. Injury management is a vital component of providing that support, and it is a very important area of our club. We have highly experienced, capable and committed professionals with input when required from local, national and at times international specialists and experts in their field. And it should be noted that another one of Colin's clients is Harley Bennell, clearly they haven't been able to get him right. But
they have left no stone unturned. One thing you say about Harley Bennell is he has been well looked after. No doubt he's been well looked after by the club.
So Harley has been to Germany to see Hans Wolfenhardt.
Scares me, that name.
The guy.
Every time that name's mentioned, I run the other way.
That's the guy Ben Reid went to see.
The famous calf blood doctor.
Yes, Max Rook was another one. There have been a number of other players who've gone and sought his help when they have been unable to get soft tissue problems right. He was also sent to see a specialist in Canberra who was integral to Australia's Olympic program to see what he could do. And they also hooked Harley up with a physiotherapist who handled ballet dancers to see if there was something that they could do, which was a little bit different to what had been done up until that point, which may also be able to solve the problem. At the end of the day, they decided that Harley had to roll the dice and play, put a massive tear in his calf when he basically tore the Band-Aid off and tried to go flat out for Peel. And Harley has had surgery, has had a nerve removed, actually, from his calf, which hopefully solves his problem. But having said that, with all the scar tissue that Harley is likely to have on that calf now, it is very difficult to see him getting back and playing AFL footy.
So where do we go to from here, Duff? So we've got a club defending its rehab procedures. We've got a manager who clearly works very hard for his clients. We've seen that in action. Colin Young does work very hard for his clients.
Yep.
Very close to them all. Where does this leave the club? Where does it leave the relationship with Colin going forward? Assuming they can sort of get over that, well, they're going to have to because they work so closely on a daily basis, as Fremantle, you know, as they say. But, I mean, where does Freo go with all of this?
Colin is a very fiery customer, so he has a tempestuous relationship with a lot of the clubs. And Colin tends to have serious fights with people and then at some point they kiss and make up. And that certainly happened at West Coast. West Coast, it should be noted, is a far more powerful club than Fremantle, and particularly at the moment, given their performance. So when Colin has a falling out with, say, Trevor Nisbet at West Coast, it's in Colin's interest to kiss and make up with Trevor as soon as possible because Trevor doesn't take any rubbish.
Yeah, I equally think that it would be important for him to do the same at Freo, though. It's not an insignificant part of the WA sporting landscape.
You'd like to think so. I think that where does it go to? I think Colin had issues with a couple of the appointments that Fremantle has made, and there are two comments to make about that. He's entitled to his opinion on those appointments, but no club can have a football a player manager telling them who they can and can't hire. So that was a case where Fremantle had to choose the people that they felt best equipped to do those jobs, and then they have to live and die by those appointments. Now, the fact that Colin doesn't like those appointments, and I don't think he liked the contract extension handed out to Peter Bell. But I think my point to that would be it's for Fremantle to decide who they employ to have key roles at the football club, not for Colin Young. That said, if I'm Fremantle, I would be having a very good hard look at the circumstances around, not so much Kirsten, because I think Kirsten, a foot problem it's at the bottom of your body, so it's carrying all of your body weight. Once you get a foot problem that won't go away, you're in big trouble. It's almost bigger than a knee.
There's a bit of that at Freo too, and at West Coast as well.
Absolutely. But, I mean, in Shane's case, because he's barely played AFL, you can hardly attribute that to the surface at Optus Stadium. But Stephen Hill's quad is a concern.
Hogan Pierce Taberner, not insignificant.
Yeah, well, I think they do feel that is linked to the stadium. And in Taberner's case, I think they feel it might be his biomechanics when he runs.
Is Hogan's, however? He had a pre-existing ailment.
Yeah, well, we'd have to see how Jesse comes back from surgery. Talking to Dr. Peter Bruckner, the East Coast expert on these matters, he said he would give Hogan a good chance of recovering from this latest setback because he didn't have surgery the first time and he has had surgery this time. So the treatment is different. He said, if I was the club, I would be optimistic about him coming back and playing good AFL football. But he said, I would stress there are no guarantees with this thing. And he said, of course, it's a concern that the re-injury has, or the recurrence of the injury has occurred. I think the other comment I would make is that I'm not sure that they're too far away from sitting Nathan Wilson down for the year because of either an ankle or a foot problem as well. So another lower leg injury. Nathan Wilson has struggled for the last 2 or 3 weeks. He had a fitness test on the ground at Marvel Stadium before they played the Western Bulldogs last week and then played poorly during the game and attracted some criticism out of all of that. Clearly not coping with the injury. So it may be in his and their interest to sit him down.
So if they lose to Geelong, Q may go in the rack.
I think they have to make some selection changes based on fitness before the Geelong game. And certainly if they lose to Geelong, I think their finals chances are slim to none anyway.
Yes, they are.
So I think after that game, then yeah, they will have three games left. Let's see some young players and see how they go.
Some other significant news today, Duff. Reece Shaw has been appointed. Surprise, surprise. I don't disagree with that appointment. I think he's got the calibre of a very good coach.
Do you disagree with the timing?
Yes, I do. I'm curious as to why, with 4 weeks remaining, before the finals, he's appointed. I don't see the reason for the rush. No one else is chasing Reece Shaw. Just coach out the season. He's 4-4. I think he's done a really good job, but he hasn't hit the ball out of the park, I don't think, in my opinion. I think they're going very well under him.
So David Teague has hit the ball out of the park.
I think he has, yeah. Yeah, it's gone down the road. They can't find it. That's how far David Teague's hit the ball out of the park. I think Reece Shaw's just hit a home run. It's just trickled over the fence, I think. So I'm just saying that I just don't see the reason for why the rush. I can't. Is it a marketing reason? Is it to sell hope? He's there. Let him coach the year out, then appoint him full time.
It's an interesting one. Ben Buckley has described this as an exhaustive process.
Well, they didn't interview anyone.
I would think if this has been an exhaustive process, they must have been extremely tired when they started.
Yeah, because they haven't interviewed anyone.
Because there hasn't been a lot go on since then.
Here's a hypothetical, Duff. Yes. Just a hypothetical. Just say in 2 weeks' time, Jeff Kennett is at it again and he has the biggest falling out in history, Armageddon at Hawthorn. And Clarko says, that's it, I'm gone, I'm going, I'm leaving. And he's available.
Well, former North Melbourne player.
Well, where are you then? I'm just saying, hypothetically, that's the reason why I think you just hold off till the end of the season and then make your decisions.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't see what the rush is. I really don't. He was installed as a caretaker coach. Did they think that another club was going to poach him? Like, has another club been in touch with Reece Shaw?
Don't think so.
So
no, I can say not.
Then it's a pointless appointment at this.
I think so. I'm not saying it's a bad appointment. I'm just saying the timing is wrong. A couple of other things. Jared McVeigh this morning announced that he'll be retiring at the end of the year, so we applaud his career. Great career, been sort of written off many times. But I think, and Sean Burgoyne, we must acknowledge Sean Burgoyne, 373 games, passes Adam Goods this week, a number of games by an Indigenous or Torres Strait Island footballer. Magnificent effort, and I think with Sean Burgoyne, you can see the outpouring of love around the place from all corners of the AFL. He's a player who very few people have got bad things to say about, if any.
I'm going to give you a question, Quarters, and you don't have to answer this straight away. We'll revisit it on Tuesday. Yep. Make a note.
Actually, I'll be having a week off next week, Duff, so perhaps I can answer it today, but let's go for it.
The top five Indigenous players of all time. Is Sean Burgoyne in that five?
Oh, yeah. Without even considering who they are, I would say yes. For weight of numbers, for premierships won, for his contribution to those premierships, for the storyline itself, the fact that he left Port Adelaide without any hope that he would play 2-3 years. I think even Hawthorn in their wildest dreams didn't think he'd play 2-3 years. Mm. But back their rehab system, and he plays in another 3 flags for them. So I just think the longevity, I'm not even considering his nickname Silk, his craft with the ball in hand and ability to run into space, to shake tackles. Just a great, complete all-round footballer. And I think the storyline itself, he would have to be in the top five. And there's some great Indigenous players out there. You're talking, you know, your Polly Farmers, your Barry Cables, just so many of them.
How's this for a list?
Yep.
Just a quick stab at a top five with apologies to Barry Cable.
Yep.
In no particular order, Sean Burgoyne, Graham Farmer, Adam Goods, Lance Franklin, Andrew McLeod.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Actually, apologies to Peter Matera as well.
Yeah. And the beauty of that list is, and Roo was one of the greats, I can't squeeze him in above any of those players.
Mm.
So Andrew McLeod, a couple of Norm Smiths, Buddy Franklin, we know he's just maybe the most watchable player ever. Adam Goods, Brownlow's, Burgoyne's passing his record watermark right now. Burgoyne and who's the other player there? I'm just trying to read you right.
Farmer Goods.
Oh, Grant Farmer. Well, McLeod. Changed the way footy's played.
Correct.
So, you know, these are players who have left an imprimatur on the game as indelible as any player.
Yep.
Any player.
Yep.
So I think, you know, and Sean Burgoyne, the tributes will flow all weekend and let's hope he can celebrate it with a win, Duff. But, you know, and he's deserved with all of them. Well done, Sean.
Yeah, I agree. I think.
Should he play next year, Duff?
Look.
I'm going to say
I hope he doesn't.
My heart hopes he does, but my head says he shouldn't. Yeah. Now, I'm going to invoke the Josh Kennedy rule here again. Just because he's still playing great footy now doesn't mean he will be able to in 12 months' time. And I don't like seeing champions play a year too long. That's all I'll say.
I think he's playing good football now.
Yeah, good.
I think Sean's last great season was probably last year.
And I'll say this, he's never been a four-quarter, dominant four-quarter player, but his bursts of brilliance are shorter and shorter and shorter. And
well, I'll tell you one thing that will happen.
But they're still good.
He will be well-managed. So that gives him a chance of playing on. Provided,
I think he probably will. If you ask me to bet my house on it, I reckon two players that may surprise you, I think he'll get another year, and I reckon they'll give Birchall another year, provided he doesn't break down between now and the end of the year, because I just think the footy Birchall has missed there, they see him as a player who's still a bit fresh.
Yeah, okay. And back to McVay. McVay was a key to Sydney's game plan, wasn't he? Like, Sydney's game plan was a lot about the contest and the combat and all that, but it was also about safe and sure and expert ball movement.
Yeah, really
from
clever
defense.
Footballer.
And he
and
was
deep thinker.
He was
on
that.
The field. Very clever. You know, he'll go down as one of Sydney's greats.
Absolutely. And well done to Sydney as well, because while Jared McVay is going out, obviously there's been a series of calf muscle injuries there over the last couple of years, but they found a guy to replace him. Jake Lloyd has stepped into his role and plays that role very well for Sydney. Mm. So well done to the Swans. Good succession planning there.
On to the footy, Duff. It's a bit of footy happening this weekend, and I tell you that...
How many did you tip? Come on.
I got seven.
Did you?
Missed out in the Hawks.
Well done.
Yeah, they're all tough. They're all tough now, but yeah, I was happy with seven. I worked hard for a couple of them.
I got eight. And missed out on the Hawks.
Well done, mate.
So we backed the Hawks in. We thought their record in Tasmania was...
Well, 111 from set shots doesn't help.
No.
111.
Yes.
Mm.
At a ground that you were where you would be considered to have the home ground advantage.
Yeah, it's very blustery there. It is hard to it is hard there to kick at goal. But Hawthorn, no. Well, I've been playing there for well over a decade. So
I think Mitch Lewis, Paul Puopolo,
Punky Brewster,
Sean Burgoyne and Luke Bruce kicked something like 110 between them.
Yeah.
That's... You wouldn't expect that mob
to
kick 110.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. So you hope it's an aberration, although Hawthorn's not been a great... Their accuracy is on the wane this year, I think.
Mm.
So they're playing North on Friday night. North with the just today inked new coach, Reece
Shaw.
After an exhaustive
Clearly
process.
Clearly they're easily exhausted, so maybe North will be tired.
Well, they are tired because they've just come off. They've lost three in a row, but there's a reason behind. The players are tired of listening to the exhaustive process going on with the coaching appointment. But they've just played at the Gabba and over here, so they're two really tough journeys.
And then a six day break to come back.
So, look, it's a game at Marvel Stadium. I'm picking the Hawks, but they want to be better than 111 from set shots. 1-9 of their past 11 against North, so the matchups are good, but they're 2-2 against North at Marvel. So not sure if Hawthorn play that well at Marvel Stadium. So inaccuracy is the one thing. I'm giving it to Hawthorn. I reckon it's 50-50. I'm going coaches head-to-head, and I'm going Burgoyne. And I'm not one really to go for milestones very often, but that's why I'm picking the Hawks. Could easily go the other way. Ben Browns and Zerha are in good form. But they'll come up against a reasonably good Hawthorn backline. And Frawley, one of the form defenders of the comp, who's largely gone underrated, I reckon, in the second half of the year.
I'm tipping North Melbourne. The concern I have about my tip is that you mentioned the trip to the Gabba, the trip to Perth and the six-day break.
Yep.
And the hard Optus Stadium surface as well, which does knock it out of people. But what I will say is I think that this matchup in the past, Hawthorn have beaten the Roos up a bit.
Oh, yeah, they won't beat them up this time.
They won't be beaten up this time.
Yeah, midfield will be really tough. They're tough.
And I reckon there'll be a bit of comeuppance as well. like North have been bringing the heat.
Mm.
I will guarantee you the past unsociable football will be mentioned in the pre-match address. I'll guarantee
they're
you
bringing
that.
They've been bringing the heat for 8 weeks now. Reece Shaw's 4-4.
Yeah.
You know, it's a game, it's a style that's combative and brutal and tiring.
Tiring.
So
maybe that's why they're exhausted.
I get your point. But I think Hawthorn will be expecting that as well. Yeah. And I think Reece Shaw, being a young coach, will probably, and I'll use your metaphor that you've used in the past, Duff, I think he'll probably bring in, a Gladstone bag and a couple of manila folders with his tactics, and while Clarko backs in his semi-trailer.
Touche.
So it'll be a good match for that alone. If you're watching the tactics from the coach's box and the toing and froing, so look forward to that game on Friday night. Saturday, Marvel Stadium, Essendon v Port Adelaide, another intriguing game. It looks like they're dropping Lycett, Port Adelaide.
Jesus, there's been some pretty funky selecting going on in Adelaide. Is there something in the water over there?
Well,
have they started drinking that beer? What's that green beer?
West End.
No, the other one.
Oh, I don't know what the other
Suffolk?
One is.
Suffolk?
The water.
They used to call it the Green Death.
Yeah, well, I've not drunk that, but I used to go over there and just drink Carlton United product stuff. But I think 1-5 in a row, Essendon, and going okay. Interestingly, you look at both of them. Essendon had a win but just got over the line against Gold Coast. Port Adelaide had a loss but really took it up to GWS. So I think in many ways it was a more impressive performance from Port than it was from Essendon, even though it was at a home game,
yep,
than Essendon last week in many ways. I'm going to pick Essendon. If you look at the two Adelaide teams, I haven't got a lot of faith in where Adelaide's headed at the moment.
No.
But I've got some faith in where Port's headed.
Because they've got kids.
They have got kids.
Yeah.
I think if you're a Port supporter and you really strip it back and think, let's look at this objectively, you're not unhappy with where they're headed. Mm. You're just unhappy with the fact that you may not play finals, which you probably won't play finals. So I think Port's going okay. I'm going to back Essendon. I think they've got momentum. I like the way their forward line's working. McKernan, Stringer's found some form. I like the way they're going, so I'm gonna keep my faith in them. Think they win this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think.
I know you sort of question yourself, don't you, over this game, because Port has that ability to win one, lose one, win one, lose one. But
yeah,
I reckon Essendon in the past you'd probably pick Port here, but I reckon Essendon now is a bit more reliable. Certainly since about the third of the year.
I like the fact that they crawled out from underneath Gold Coast,
yep,
last week. In the past, Essendon would have found a way to lose that,
yep,
and they found a way to win it instead. And that's not going to go down as their greatest victory of the year.
No.
I'll bet Connor McKenna was a bit relieved.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, some really smart footy from Tip and Woody, Hooker, and then some magic from Stringer at the end there. And you're right, found a way.
Mm.
And that's the sign of a team on the up. Yep. I reckon. And they're going to play finals, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what they contribute in the finals too.
You're hoping they fall over. Come on, admit it.
Yeah, you're right. GWS v Sydney, Battle of the Bridge at Giants Stadium. Tough wins over Collingwood and Port the last couple of weeks, GWS.
Can you make a case for the Swans?
I can always make a case for the Swans, but I'm not going to in this instance. I think they're just, we know where they're at. They're not playing for finals. I think they're playing for, to blood youth, and try and mitigate the massive. They're not going to lose by plenty.
Mm.
GWS. I think I look at that forward line. Cameron Finlayson and Himmelberg. I look at Rampy out, and I'm just concerned myself over how Sydney's going to nullify that forward line and kick enough goals itself. Papley will come into it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Hewitt will probably play on Whitfield, I'd imagine. But I think GWS for mine here.
Quarters, I'm going to tip GWS as well. Yep. And I think they'll win by 20 to 30 points. Where does GWS finish, do you think, at the end of the home and away round? You got them in your four?
I'm going to have them in my four, yes. So I'm...
Are you still not convinced Brisbane's going to be in your four?
You look at the fixtures, and there's every chance they drop a couple Brisbane. And there's a possibility they drop, we'll get to it in a minute, that they drop Sunday's game, playing the Dogs at the Gabba. Possibility. Mm. So I'm just, they haven't done much wrong. I just, still think that there's four teams better than them. Okay. I really do. And hope I'm proven wrong, because I'd love to see Brisbane right up there.
Yeah, look, I would love to see Brisbane in the four, because it would bring freshness and exciting. Mm. But there's a part of me that wants GWS to take another tilt.
No, I want them to play in the grand final.
Yeah.
I want to see what they can do. I'm sick of this almost.
Nice hot day at the MCG, GWS on the field in the grand final.
Yeah, absolutely.
That could be really exciting.
Absolutely, with most of their guns playing, yes. You know. So I think it could be anything. And GWS gets to a grand final, there's not going to be any pressure on them.
No.
But apart from the pressure of the occasion, I don't think there'll be expectations will be, you've got there, that's, you know, you've done well.
You know, the other thing about it is it won't be like that preliminary final they played against Richmond, where there was 80,000 there and 79,800 of them were Richmond supporters.
Yeah.
The grand final is very corporate.
Yes.
And so there'll be 20,000 opposition fans, and there'll be, you know, they'll probably get their 10,000 members. And so, well, they've got 30,000 members.
I will say one thing, though. Richmond supporters, small sections of Richmond supporters still tend to make a lot of noise.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Made a lot of noise in 2017, that's for sure. Freo v Geelong, Optus Stadium. I'm looking at this as a limit the damage game. Now, Geelong's not setting the world on fire, but it's maybe against a Fremantle side that's a bit banged up, and an opportunity to find something. It's going to be a bit of the Tim Kelly show, really, isn't it, on Saturday night? I think Geelong wins this one by about 6 goals.
I think Fremantle would take anything under 5.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what I do hope Fremantle does. Now, we understand Luke Ryan has twanged a hammy last week, so he won't play for several weeks. Might not play again this year.
Yep.
Nathan Wilson has a sore foot and will await further information on that, whether he's going to be closed down for the season.
There's no Alex Pearce still.
No, I'm not sure there's much point in playing Hayden Ballantyne again. I'm not sure there's much point in playing Aaron Sandilands again. I'll qualify that. I think Hayden Ballantyne and Aaron Sandilands, assuming that Freo are completely out of the running, should get a farewell game. But I don't think it's this one. I think it should be the home game against Essendon in 2 weeks' time. And I'm assuming that Fremantle will be out of the running for the eight by then, because I think they're out of the running now. So I want to see, I believe Jason Carter is in the mix. That's their NGA Academy boy who's been playing solidly at Peel.
Get Carter.
I believe that Toby Watson is in the mix. Rangy, red-headed defender who's been playing really solidly at Peel all year. I want to see him play.
Mm.
And you know what? The one thing I took away from the game against the Western Bulldogs last week, and there wasn't a lot to take away from it, it was actually two things. Andrew Brayshaw was their best player, clearly.
Second half was okay.
26 disposals.
No, I mean the team.
Yeah, okay.
Blown away at the start.
26 disposals, 3 goals for Andrew Brayshaw out of the midfield. Fantastic. So I take that as a big tick. Adam Chera goes into the middle after barely being sighted to halftime and has 8 or 9 touches, wins a couple of clearances, gives them really clear, clean decision-making and a bit of direction out of the middle. I give that a tick as well. So let's see more of it. Now, let's not go back to 30-something-year-olds, and let's not rely too heavily on 20-something VFL imports to try and uplift the club. Let's look at who are the best kids and put them out there and see how they go. So hopefully Carter plays, hopefully Watson plays, and hopefully Brayshaw stays in the midfield, and hopefully we see more of Chera in the midfield. That's what I want to see from Fremantle.
And you've done your you've done your restock, you've almost done your replumb. Let's see. Let's try a few different taps.
Yeah, something like that.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Why not? What have you got to lose?
Exactly. So Hawkins found a bit of form. Has found a bit of form too. So in his 250th last week, kicked 5. So
that's going to be a tough matchup
Hamling probably.
Probably Hamling, yeah. but maybe Logue. They might. Logue's a big, strong boy. They might say, well, see how you go bodying up on the tomahawk. It might be something that they, you know, a challenge that they throw to him.
Again, you look at the Freo side and you think, how are you going to kick a winning score? That's my biggest concern at the moment.
Well, maybe you continue to try Nathan Fife forward.
Mm.
I got a good clip from Ross Lyon in the post-match last week.
Did you?
Yeah. So
I've
been one of those writers who said, you know, Fife has to go forward. And my argument has been that his time should be split between midfield and forward. Ross, because
do you think it should be 50-50?
No, maybe not 50-50, but maybe 65-35.
Yeah.
maybe. Just more than he does. So Fife started in the goal square, and that was partly because his infection doctor, Clay Gollidge, said, look, he's going to be affected aerobically for a week or two.
And we'd like him to, say, play further up the ground, obviously, in that forward 50.
But anyway, I asked him what was the thinking, because it was an obvious question. It was a departure from the norm. So that's the question you got to ask the coach. And I got the, I could be facetious and say that certain people have been screaming for Nathan to play forward all year, but this is not the time or place to be facetious. Whack!
Yeah, I don't think that is a clip. I think that's an acknowledgement of judgment, though. It's a whack. If that's a clip, I'll take one of those every day.
I'm happy to take it. Yeah. I liked it. I thought he stepped up to the plate and delivered. But I do hope they continue with that. I hope that Fife continues to split his time between the midfield and forward, and hopefully that he kicks a few goals and hits the scoreboard and makes himself dangerous and makes Fremantle a harder team to defend against.
I got a clip too, but Braden took it for me.
Braden
Quartermain got a clip from Simo. It was actually me he was clipping, but sorry about that, Braden. But
this was about the Josh Kennedy retirement.
Yes, it was.
It probably won't happen now.
No, I don't think it was going to happen. It's just, again, I repeat, I don't like players playing a year too long.
Well, you might have.
But we move on. But he did make me look a bit silly.
We'll wait and see.
Seven zips, not a bad day.
Yeah, but we'll also wait and see what Josh does,
of course,
next year. Your point was,
that's, you don't go on a year too long. Your form now doesn't necessarily translate to your form at this time next year.
So let's see how we go in 2020.
And make no mistake, I hope he goes very well. I hope he plays and proves me wrong. It's not about Josh Kennedy, who's been a great player. It's about players playing on too long. That's what it's about. But sorry, Braden, for that clip. I'll gladly wear it. Melbourne v Richmond at the MCG. Hard to make a case for Melbourne. Richmond playing. Everyone's salivating over Richmond at the moment for good reason. They're my form team of the comp. Mm-hmm. I think they'll play off in the grand final this year. I really do. Whether they win it or not is a moot point. But the only thing I again worry when teams start from a fair way back, as Richmond did. We've seen it in the past, and it's a long year. It's an ultra marathon, not a marathon, and it can get you at the end. And I hope that doesn't happen for Richmond. We all love seeing them up and about. Big task for Melbourne's defence. And also, if Richmond are sort of 20 points plus at three-quarter time, good luck, because Melbourne's last quarters have been horrible.
And Richmond's
have been good.
Yeah.
So, you know, good luck. Richmond's defence playing really well again. Playing a bit deeper than it has in the past, but just everything to like about Richmond. I think they win this game comfortably. Melbourne, to me, at the moment, is irrelevant and really disappointing. I reckon they're the most disappointing team this year.
Yeah, I agree.
The comp.
I think that when you go from a preliminary final to 17th,
I reckon the first month of next season will be really telling whether Melbourne is the real deal or whether it was an aberration last year.
Yeah.
Because they're going to turn up, regardless of injuries. You get injuries pre-season, regardless of what happens, Melbourne has to turn up in good shape for round one next year, the available list.
And you'd like to think that would happen.
Of course,
You would like to think that the players would look at this as an absolutely wasted year and they would knuckle down come back in ripping.
Their pre-season starts in September.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we'll see what Melbourne produces. Look, I don't see an upset happening in this game, do you?
No, I don't. I would think Richmond wins this comfortably by 30-plus points. The one thing I would say, I believe Marlon Pickett plays his first VFL game.
Good luck, Marlon.
This weekend, and I think there's a little bit of excitement in the Tigers camp as just to what he can do. He's been doing a lot of running.
After Sydney Stack, Sydney Stack injured himself today, I think. He may be under a cloud. Don't quote me on it, but I think he may be under a bit of a cloud, which would be disappointing. But, Marlon picked up in the mid-year draft, and for years, obviously, he's been displaying his wares in the waffle, and let's hope he makes a really good fist of it. You never know, Duff. You never know. Might get a crack.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed for him. Adelaide v St Kilda at Adelaide Oval. A lot to like about St Kilda. 2 from 2 under Ratten.
Who are you tipping?
I'm tipping Adelaide. I have lost a bit of faith in them, but surely they win this at home. They're clinging on to 8th by percent. Well, they're in 8th spot on percentage. Have to win this. Surely they have to answer their critics. Surely they've got enough talent to win this game.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm going to tip the Crows. But I'll tell you what, this is the last chance for the Crows.
It is.
With me.
Yep. This is the last kerplunk stick before you lose all the marbles. I'm telling you, it is.
I don't know what a kerplunk stick is.
You never played kerplunk when you were a kid?
I used to play marbles.
It's a great game. Anyway.
I played marbles.
We digress.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I just think there is going to be something badly wrong if the Crows don't respond to what happened at the MCG last week.
The only thing, I agree with you totally, but, you know, we've been saying this for a while now, and they don't really respond. I don't want you to respond 1 week. I want them to respond in a block. And I just don't, I think there's a real issue there at Adelaide, but surely they can win this, surely. Geez, there were some interesting theories thrown up. I was listening to an interview with Malcolm Blight yesterday about Adelaide and about what their ills are. And clearly they're slow, and clearly there is a lack of youth coming up. Clearly they're the two biggest issues facing Adelaide. If we park ourselves away from any off issues there are, divide between, you know, the coaching group and the players. Interestingly, he threw a few players up, and a couple of them were moving both Crouch brothers on to Gold Coast, who need experienced, reliable midfielders for picks 1 and 2. And you'd have to throw in something else as well, of course.
Jeez, would the Crouch brothers want to go to the Gold Coast?
Well, maybe not, but they're not going to give away Lacosius and Rankine, Gold Coast. They can't. The AFL should not let them anyway.
Yeah.
But if they were able to pull something like that off, and Malcolm Blight prefaced it by saying, look, I don't dislike the Crouch brothers. I think they're terrific footballers. But we need youth, we need speed, and they're just, if you got 1 and 2, and given, just say Carlton finishes, say you get 3 for the Carlton trade, you get 1, 2 and 3, all of a sudden, that's not a bad starting point for a bit of a mini rebuild.
Yeah.
It's food for thought, I reckon.
I wonder what that does to the fabric of your club when you just ship.
But this is just Malcolm Blight espousing a theory. This is not from Adelaide, but I found it really interesting, fascinating.
I mean,
I'd think about it.
Gold Coast would love that.
Mm. I'd be giving 1 and 2?
Well, they've got enough young talent.
Okay.
Quarters. They need.
It's what they need. That's just no denying that is what they need.
You know, one of the worst decisions they've made, they let Jared Lyons go.
Yeah, well, they've made. Well, a lot of decisions have been made, most of them not their fault, I might admit. But yeah, that was a shocker, given his form this year.
Absolute stinker of a decision.
Yeah, that was just a.
Okay, I'm going Adelaide.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Last chance, Crows.
Yeah, last chance, Saloon. Okay, on to Sunday. Couple of the really interesting games here could go either way. This won't. Collingwood, Gold Coast. Now,
Collingwood.
14 in a row, Gold Coast. What we did like about them last week was they had a crack. Ben King, 4 goals. And look, wasn't just the 4 goals he kicked. It's the way he took the contested marks, the way he – you can see a bloke – when someone so young plays in a key position and he just moves so well confidently through contested situations, I just like that. I really like that. So, and I know you're a big rat for his brother as well.
Oh, he is good. He is the better King.
Are they going to end up together at any point?
Well, if they do, it'll be at St Kilda, unfortunately, for Gold Coast.
Good for well, hopefully it's at Gold Coast. He might like it up there and convince his brother to move. You never know. Dugowie, Quainer out. Look, it's a good week for Collingwood to try and regain a bit of confidence and maybe for Cox to clunk a few and kick a few because his form's been, hadn't kicked a goal for 2 weeks. So I hope they find some form, Collingwood. I'm not saying at Gold Coast's expense, but I just want them to find some form because I rate them and I want them to be a key player in the finals. And right now, it doesn't look like that.
No, it looks like it's just too much has gone wrong for too long, doesn't it? But yep. I agree with you. I mean, there's still a chance. Let's not forget we're a month out. We're actually 5 weeks out from.
Yeah, if you talk about the week off.
So. There is still time to gather and get some momentum and hit September. And we saw what the Dogs were able to do in 2016 just by gathering, regrouping and getting their best team out there when it mattered in September. So fingers crossed that Collingwood can do that because it will be a richer final series, I think, if they can put their best foot forward in September.
Now, a couple of danger games. We got Brisbane v Western Bulldogs at the Gabba. Brisbane winning 6 in a row. They're going to play finals, we know that. Are they going to be top 4? Well, important to win this one. Dogs, Fagan has not beaten the Dogs as Brisbane coach. So 4 from 4 they are against him. Just percentage outside the 8, the Dogs. So there's a lot to like about their form. I reckon this is going to be a really, really, really good game of football. I'm going to pick Brisbane.
Yeah.
I'm not picking against them at the Gabba this year. And I like what they've done recently. They have beaten some good sides. They have won on the road. Great win in Tassie last week. Helped a bit by Hawthorn's poor set shot kicking. But nevertheless, they just look the better team, in my view. So they've done nothing wrong. Harris Andrews' return is certainly going to help them combat that very talented Bulldogs forward line. This is going to be really close. I'm going to pick Brisbane just.
Yeah, it's an interesting matchup of styles, isn't it? Because, and I think this is where Fremantle messed up last week. The way you play the Bulldogs is they're a high possession team. They'll throw the ball around a lot, get pressure on them, get them to turn the ball over, feed off the turnovers. Mm. Now, obviously, Fremantle picked too many big players and had too many, you know, Fife was vulnerable physically, Mundy's vulnerable physically because he's 34, Blakely's not quick. Brisbane are the second highest scoring team in the AFL, but they're more middle range defensively. So are they going to be good enough to get enough pressure on the Bulldogs to be able to get them to turn the ball over?
Well, I guess what's going to help them is you don't necessarily have to apply that much pressure because the Dogs give you a chance.
They will throw the ball around a bit.
So they're going to create a lot of their own turnovers in many ways. So this is where Brisbane's best chance of winning it. But the thing about Brisbane, second highest scoring side, but they score really quickly and they score in chunks, and that's good finals footy. So that's what I'm excited about heading into September, what they're going to produce. They could win games in a quarter in September if they get it right. I'm going to pick Brisbane. I reckon this can be a really, really close game and one to absolutely watch on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be close, but I am going to tip Brisbane. I think they've earned our respect and they've earned the right to be favourites in this game.
Final game of the round, Carlton v West Coast. Real warning signs up for West Coast with this game. I'm going to pick them. They've won their actually, interesting if you look at West Coast, we were once sort of talking about their road form. They've won their last eight at the MCG and Marvel Stadium combination.
They've done magnificently well in terms of learning how to play width, haven't they? Like, that's been the big shift. They were very much a straight-ahead press team, and now they've learned how to change the angles to play with width and really stretch team across ways as well as lengthways, which is fantastic for them.
So I reckon West Coast will be, you know, they're a well-coached, well-drilled side, so they will turn up. You know, they're not going to be ambushed. I sort of hate that term a bit, but I think they will be nevertheless a little bit surprised when they play this Carlton team compared to the team they've been playing in previous years, because they'll realise, geez, this team's improved.
Let's not forget that Carlton came pretty close to beating West Coast at the MCG last year.
Did too.
Obviously, West Coast gathered significant momentum since then, but you would also argue that Carlton is a significantly better team since then.
So Jones, Darling, Weeder and Kennedy, probably?
Yeah, the one we're really keen on is what happens in the middle.
Yeah.
Does Yo go to Cripps? And if so, what happens?
I think so. Yeah.
It's going to be a fascinating matchup.
Hutchings available?
Hutchings is physically available but may spend a week in the waffle.
Yeah. I reckon, geez, that's a big ask. In you come. Here's Cripps.
Yeah, and what's more, Mark Hutchings, I mean, great foot soldier for West Coast. He's 184 centimetres.
Yeah, Cripps is a beast, isn't he?
Cripps is 195 and about 100
kilos. I like
kilos.
Yo and Cripps. I like good player and good player, and let's call it good player. Exceptionally good player and superstar. I think that's not being unfair on Yo, is it?
Well, the one thing about Yo is a dual best and fairest winner.
Or dual All-Australian.
And it's in a team that won the flag.
Yep.
Last year. So it may be that we need to start calling Elliot Yo. It might be superstar
maybe,
on superstar.
Maybe star, not superstar. I don't like the word star.
Maybe
either,
megastar v superstar.
Something like that. Well, he's up there. He's up. Elliot, you're up there. We love you. But
it's a stellar matchup.
Oh, it's a stellar matchup. Like it. But, you know, Yo, the man that Adam Simpson asked to pull on his Superman cape every now and then, might have to pull it on this week if things are a bit tight in that game. I expect the Eagles to win this game. Ultimately, they'll win it, you know, reasonably, a couple of kicks, I reckon, 2-3 goals, but it'll be a tough challenge for them
at
Marvel Stadium.
Almost a 50-50 game. I'm just going to back West Coast's class and ability to overcome. I think that's what they've learned in the last 2 years, is that they've been challenged a lot in the last 2 years, and they tend to find a way. I'm going to back them to find a way again, but I think Carlton will be in this game up to the eyeballs.
Had a few outs to the Eagles and managed to overcome those without too much fuss in recent weeks, so well done.
All right, well, that's the tipping done for this week. Hopefully you do very well. Hopefully your team does very well. And hopefully you'll be listening in again on Tuesday when Quarters and I rejoin you to go through the ramifications and dissect the round.
A couple of stand-ins for me next week. I'm on sabbatical just for a week, Duff.
Hopefully.
I'll be here in spirit.
Hopefully North Melbourne has recovered from their exhaustive process by then.
I don't think so. It's going to take some time, Duff.
All right. Thank you for joining us.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.